Dunedain checked his gear and went out. The castle passages and halls were aswarm with gillies. They had Lochaber axes in their belts and were bustling around with 100 chores in preparation for a gathering of the clans. Dunedain had really thrown a firebrand into the scene. Nobody had been briefed. They didn't know what was going on. Dunedain had come home. Orders had been given. Somebody said the Cyclo mine site was no more. There was an awful lot to do. The ancient ruin had remained a ruin above ground so as to attract minimal attention from drones that had gone over for centuries. Some said the place had once been the seat of Scottish kings. Its dungeons had been expanded, and it was a fortress in itself. Two gillies had Dunedain's own horse saddled, and it was prancing about. The gillies were smiling broad welcomes to Dunedain. He mounted, and at a signal they tossed the boy up behind him, clayed him o'er and all. It was raining. A storm apparently had moved in. It had been clear when they landed, but now the dawn was thick with overcast. It was at that moment that Biddy MacLeod remembered the rest of the message.
"Your squire,"
he said to Dunedain's back.
"Also say, to squiggle."
The boy's accent was thick, not the accent of an educated Scot.
"To what?"
demanded Dunedain.
"I misremembered. I couldn't think of the word,"
apologized the boy.
"But it did sound like squiggle."
"Scramble?"
asked Dunedain. The word that meant emergency takeoff.
"Ah, so it was, so it was."
Dunedain was off like a shot, and 2 miles were never eaten up so fast by a horse. They came plunging to a stop on the flat-topped knoll. Dunedain looked wildly about. Only the passenger plane was there. He flung himself off the horse and flung the reins to the boy. He opened the door and leaped into the passenger plane, reaching for the radio. And then Dwight landed nearby, startling the horse into frantic plunging that lifted the boy and the sword off the ground at every rear. Dunedain raced over to Dwight.
"It's gone now,"
said Dwight. There had been no radio messages from the compound. Dwight, as arranged, had faithfully stayed on watch. He had waited for any break in radio silence and the end of the silence itself. The time period had ended, but pilots, not hearing from the compound and Robert the Fox, had not opened up. But something else peculiar had happened. Dwight had picked up a cyclo conversation on the planetary plane band, very loud and clear. It seemed loud enough to be within 1,000 miles or so, maybe more. Hard to tell.
"What did they say?"
demanded Dunedain.
"I got it all on a disc,"
said Dwight. He started the disc. It said,
"Nup, you crap brain, wake up."
Dwight said he had at once sent the boy to tell Dunedain to scramble, and then he himself had gone straight up. Yes, the sudden roar of Dwight's own engines was there on the disc. The disc played on.